This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Bankrupt energy trader Enron met with its creditors yesterday to begin to discuss payment plans. Also yesterday, the Securities and Exchange Commission asked a federal court to enforce a subpoena against Enron's former chief financial officer, Andrew Fusto, who ignored an October meeting the SEC requested. Fusto is not the only one from Enron apparently not eager to discuss the company's problems. At a congressional hearing into Enron's collapse, no one from the company showed up to testify. NPR's Emily Harris reports.
House members have a lot of questions about who knew or should have known when something was going very wrong with Enron, but they haven't been able to talk to the man who may know many of the answers. After apparently numerous requests to testify, Enron's CEO, Ken Lay, sent a letter saying he had to attend an important bankruptcy meeting instead. Republican Congressman Richard Baker had this message for Lay.
On the record, I wish to make it clear the committee will have additional meetings. Should Mr. Lay's social obligations preclude his participation, the committee also has the power to subpoena.
Many in Congress are concerned about Enron's and other companies' use of off-balance sheet setups to hide company debt. Democratic Congressman Paul Kanjorski asked the Securities and Exchange Commission chief accountant about these so-called special purpose entities.
Is this a widely used methodology in large corporations, specifically to avoid disclosure of the true nature and condition of the main corporation?
The SEC's Robert Herdman had a partial answer.
It's not an uncommon practice, Congressman, and while special purpose entity transactions have the effect of excluding certain things from a corporation's financial statements, there are a number of very valid reasons why corporations do enter into them, including the fact that they often offer the potential for reduced interest cost as well as certain tax advantages in some instances.
One benefit for Enron was to keep its credit rating higher than it otherwise might have been. Credit ratings are crucial for companies like Enron, whose core business is dealing in futures contracts. Lawmakers harshly criticized the practices of accounting firms, particularly Andersen, which approved Enron's books. Some noted there's a conflict of interest built into auditing work, particularly among large firms that earn money from consulting contracts for their accounting clients. Andersen did both for Enron. Andersen CEO Joe Burrardino told members of Congress that on one questionable partnership, Enron did not provide crucial information to Andersen. On another, what he called a smaller problem, he said Andersen accountants made an honest mistake.
You know, many people think accounting is a science where one number, namely earnings per share, is the number, and it's such a precise number that it couldn't be two pennies higher or two pennies lower. And I come from the school that says it really is much more of an art. And one of the challenges we have is the accounting model has traditionally been historic. And most analysts, most investors, are really interested in predicting the future.
Lawmakers are looking carefully at those analysts, wondering why most never advised investors to sell Enron stock. Some in Congress say more financial regulation is needed, especially for companies with books as complicated as Enron's. In hearings next year, they plan more exploration of who failed to see Enron's demise and why. Of particular interest, why employees with pension savings tied up in company stock lost so much, and whether top corporate officials illegally gained. Emily Harris, NPR News, Washington.